Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For you to see Pat win the award?
I was super proud for Pat. He's invested a lot of effort, energy, blood, sweat into his growth and development here over the last couple years. And one of the things I've been as proud about for him as anything is just not just his physical growth and maturity, but his emotional growth and maturity. He's always been a guy that cares a lot. And, you know, as a young guy, that manifests in different ways. And this year that was able to manifest it with just great passion on the field, a great work ethic. And, you know, you like to see guys who work hard, to see their hard work get rewarded. And, I'm really proud for him. I think it speaks to what we're trying to build here. I think it, whatever the narrative sometimes can be in terms of, the transfer guys coming in and having great success. Well, now here's a high school kid that was recruited here, developed here, and he's having success. So it's working on both ends of the spectrum, and that part is also gratifying.
You know how to ACC Player of the Year and then follow that up with ACC Freshman Defensive of the Year. How big a raise are you asking for as the defensive end coach?
Corey's your agent.
Yeah, but let's get as much as we can, man.
You know what? I'll be honest with you on that stuff. I feel like whatever role that I played within their development, I'm proud of. But those kids put in a ton of work, and it's always about them and the work that they put in. And I'm honored to be a part of it, and I hope that I played a role in it. But those kids did a phenomenal job, and I appreciate their work. Their investment, their toughness, and how they've just stuck with what we're trying to build here and have done everything the right way.
How much does it help, though, with what Patrick did and then what Jermaine and Jared have done these last 2 years on the recruiting trail and in the portal season to have this kind of proof of what you guys can do for defensive ends?
Oh, from a recruiting standpoint, it's huge because, to me, if you're a defensive end and the way the system is built and what we've been able to do here, whether you're a transfer that wants to come here or you're a high school player that's trying to figure out if he wants to come here, the proof is in the results. And a lot of people on the recruiting trail kind of tell you things of how it could be. We have the opportunity to tell people how it is. And, whether you're talking about Jermaine or Kier or Jared Verse or in this case, Pat Payton, and even go on, like at other positions. Like, I feel like this program's strength is our player development, and it's showing up.
How about, how do you handle your conversations with Jared and guys like that when they're deciding what they're going to do?
Always come from the perspective of what's in the best interest for the player. I've been fortunate in my career to have a bunch of guys that were in this position, that they had an opportunity to stay or go. And what I've always told them is that if you feel like you've reached your ceiling, and from a play perspective and then also from the financial perspective that the league can provide, if you feel like you're kind of capped out, then it's where you need to go. If you feel like you would be undervalued with where you would have to go in the draft right now, and you feel like there's more room to grow, then you need to come back. But I want them to do what's best for them. And, I know Jared's going through that process now. And, what he and I have spoke on, together, I'll keep between us. But I respect his process. I know his parents very well. They're very thorough in terms of how they went through the recruiting process. And if they're anywhere as thorough, which I know they will be, in terms of this decision, they'll make the right decision.
Season with the extra practices, how beneficial is it for the young guys in the room, the guys who haven't played a lot, Dante Anderson's, Aaron Hester's, those types?
I mean, bowl practice is super critical for that, for the young guys. It's really critical for everybody. I mean, you look at these last 2 days, it's all been a fundamental focus with a end of practice focus on those young players. Every one of those reps would not have been gained otherwise, so there's a lot of teams across the country that are doing their exit meetings right now, and and they don't have the opportunity to go out and practice, and we have that opportunity. So it makes our team better. And really, the reality of how college football works, there won't be a huge transition until we're into next offseason. I mean, that's going to be here, like, before you know it. So there won't be that lag that sometimes happens when you don't have those bowl practice opportunities.
What are your exit meetings with your guys like? What are you trying to convey to them in that setting?
Really straightforward and honest in terms of and it really it encompasses all aspects. You know, it's academically, socially, football, where we are, and then where we need to go. You know, so I'll give my observation of things that have gone well, things that may have not, things that are happening well, you know, off the field, things maybe that aren't, and then what needs to happen to get to where we ultimately want to go. It's a very honest conversation. You know, and most guys are pretty self-aware, so they know the things too that they need to work on and get better at. And then I always open it back up the other way. You know, what are things that you feel like could be better, you know, on your end? And then also, what are things that I could do better? You know, because the feedback is feedback. So if there's some things that players feel like from a coaching standpoint you could do better, I'm always interested in hearing what they have to say from that standpoint, because, you know, you're always looking for a way to get better, whether you're a player or a coach. So it's not really a one-sided conversation. It's really a two-sided deal.
When did Ryan tweak something on the 46-yarder, or was it coming into it?
So it's a great story, and I told it to one of the video production that's going to come out later. But, you know, on the opening – not the opening kickoff, but our first kickoff that they brought out a little bit, he was in on the tackle. And I knew he had kind of tweaked tweaked his hip a little bit, but he was still kind of adrenaline rush, still felt good. At halftime, he had to go in and get some treatment and worked on there. And, you know, when we came out for the second half, was really the first time I was told that he can't handle the kickoffs. So it was kind of like, all right, Mac, here we go. So Mac hopped in there for that. Ryan's max distance that he had hit at halftime in terms of field goals was 45 yards. He said, I hit one from 45, but that's about all I got. So when we lined up when we were in that position to kick a field goal there in the third quarter, the initial decision was to go for it. The only thing that changed that was the fact that there was an instant replay review on the interception on the sideline, whether they were inbounds or not. So it gave us 2 or 3 minutes to kind of regather. And in the meantime, Ryan came over and said, I think I can do it. And it was definitely with the right decision in terms of strategically, 4th and 11 or whatever it was isn't what you want in that situation. And to me, that was a huge play in the game, because – you know, we had driven the ball and we were down 3, and to be able to tie it up, and that to me, that was the catalyst for us going on a little bit of a run there. And for him, for a guy that has had struggles through the year that have been well documented, for him to step up in that moment and want the opportunity, I think says a lot about who he is, because he had already missed one. He was hurt, and he thought he was outside of the range in which he could make it, and no one knew he was hurt. So it would have been easy for some people to say, you know what, why don't you just go for it and not put me in that position. But he wanted it, and he stepped up in the moment and nailed it. And I have a lot of respect for that, because that takes a mindset of competitive excellence to go out there and want to do that. And he did it.
Getting a chance to reflect on the regular season, just seeing the improvement and the consistency from the special teams units, can you talk about how they played compared to the last couple of years?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into the improvement and consistency on the units. One is, I think there was and there always is, but I thought that there was a really great investment and buy-in from the guys throughout the course of the offseason. The little bit of change of structure and how we're allowed to practice through the course of spring and into the summer, I think helped. Because I felt like we were further ahead than we've ever been going into to a year. I think having some veteran guys was certainly part of it. And then, you know, on those special teams units, staying healthy. You know, one of the things that had happened in the prior couple years, whether it was the COVID year in 2020, and then it happened, just cropped up in 2021, was there was a lot of guys changing positions within the year on the special teams units. Things that go unnoticed, but where they line up on kickoff or where they line up on kickoff return. And, you know, we were a little bit, I would say, lucky, I guess, in some regards, that we were able to consistently keep the same guys in the same spots over the course of 12 games. And I think that consistency, I think just the comfortability that they had, allowed us to play fast and play with confidence and continue to grow with those units throughout the course of the year.
Coach Fuller mentioned
you guys have kept some guys to where they've only played in three games, so they might be able to play in the bowl game. Like, how important will that be for those young guys to get a chance to play in a bowl game?
Yeah, you know, I think if we have the opportunity with some of those guys, I think it'd be great. You know, we were very aware and conscious of, you know, utilizing guys' career clocks well, and not wasting years for guys who aren't significant contributors. And there are some young guys that could have an opportunity. Excuse me, like a Daniel Lyons and Omar Graham. You know, those two are the ones that kind of pop to mind immediately on the defensive side. But you know, I think if the opportunity presents itself, I think it would be great to get those guys some experience.